Welcome to Surviving Life with the Vambillies. Today you are hanging out with one Vambilly, Daniel Vambilly. And we have excused Lady V today from the show, having some commitments that does not permit her to be in studio with us. But we are going to continue with the topic that we started yesterday. And for those of you who tuned in, we were talking about pastors' children, what we call PKs. You know, there's a special series that we've been doing about the humanity in people. We've spoken about the humanity in parents. We've spoken about the humanity in pastors. But today we will be talking about the humanity in pastors' children. Now, why is this important? It's important because a lot of us in churches, we see pastors' children as a prototype. We want them to get things right from the get-go. And this gives pastors' children a certain level of pressure that is undue to them. And we wanted to discuss this because myself and my wife particularly have been taking care of pastors' children for quite a long time. If I am to put the years together, I'll say for more than 17 years, we've had to walk with different pastors' children. So when I come back, I'm going to just go in as raw as possible and explain to you the dynamics that surrounds being a pastor's child, you know. And I'm not talking from books. I'm not talking from personal experience. I'm not a pastor's child, okay? But I'm talking more from a counseling perspective, from having been there, having raised pastor's children. You know, I could name quite a few children who the Lord, you know, gave us the grace to walk with and to see, who are now adults, who are working individuals, some are artists, and there's just so many chapters we got to see. And I believe as the church, I want to call you on this table to sit with us as we have this discussion, because it will be highlighting some things that you might have not considered. Let's get the show started with Taryn Wells, MT.
It's time for the recap.
Lady V giving us the cue to go into our recap. In this episode, we focus on what salvation looks like when you are doing so in front of hundreds and sometimes thousands of people. We focus on the pastor's child and the realities of navigating life while your parent is called to the pulpit. What does that look like? Now, I know some of you have envied the pastor's child and you've looked and you said, oh man, beautiful family. I wish my father was a pastor. You know, because maybe in your reality, your parents were misbehaving and, you know, you just saw the aspect of having a man of God as your parent. But what you are not told is there's a kind of pressure that comes with being scrutinized as a child. Now, what do I mean by this? All of us were teenagers. Man, if I was to testify on my teenagehood, you guys will say, how did God even call you? In fact, I remember a friend of mine inviting me to like a mini reunion, you know, where we had lots of our friends that we went to high school with, and I showed up and everyone was excited. They were like, ah, Danny's here. The party is about to start. And when they were told Danny is now a pastor, there was one girl who just watched quietly and she said, this guy will never go to church. This guy can never be a believer. You know, and, you know, I that was like one of those shocking moments where you're like, wow, dude, were you really that bad? You know, but at least when you're not a pastor's child, it's almost expected. People are like, you know, you go through phases and, you know, we grow into them or we grow out of them. But when you're a pastor's child, life decides that you can't go through those phases. Life decides and the congregation decides you need to be the example for every other child. And at some point, that begins to mess with the childhood of the pastor's child. Because look, toddlers are toddlers, for example. A toddler needs to crawl. But we expect pastor's children to come out of the stomach walking, figuratively speaking, that is. You know, so in their teenage years, we want them to be exemplary. We want them to be the ones that set the example, because if the parent is called, then we say to ourselves automatically, the children are called, you know, and we know in scripture that pastors are called to prioritize their household, which a lot of pastors do. But prioritizing your household will still not stop your child from going through different phases. They're going to have phases where they're questioning God. They're going to have phases where they just question him, because children question. But under that scrutiny, many times they're not given that space. They're not considered to be children. We want pastors' children to behave like adults. If you know what I'm talking about, I need to hear from you. You can send us a WhatsApp on 071-364-0376, because it's a reality. We want pastors' children to be an example even for us. And that, beloved, is where we get it wrong. That is where we don't permit the children to be children. And some of them deal with that through rebellion. They become rebellious. And it's given birth to the term PK, pastor's kids. And they almost are known for being rebellious. And when I come back, I want us to discuss that. Jonathan Cain, a beautiful song there, Oh Lord, Lead Us. You hang out with Danny Van Billy. I am alone in the studio today. The lovely Lady V is taking care of business, and she will be joining us again very soon. Now, we are talking pastors' children, and Fulo just sent me the message. I think this message was literally sent by the Holy Spirit, because this is our ideas and this is our thoughts when we think of pastors and their children. Let me read it for you. It says, I think the expectation is that if the pastor is able to change the congregation, then he should be able to straighten his family. I know it may be too much, but the Bible also touches on those lines that if a man of God cannot manage his family, then he cannot handle the church. But of course, I'm open to learn from others in this regard. Now, this comment is as pure as possible. Fuller is not coming from a bad place, but she's saying this is our expectation of the pastors and their family. Now, what I want us to understand is this particular thinking does not say, yes, the pastor is supposed to be an example for us, but them being called to be an example does not remove the fact that their children will still be children. Now, what do children do? Let's start from babies. A baby will cry. We look at pastors funny if their children cry. What would babies do as toddlers? Toddlers don't understand life. They want to play, you know, whether it's church or outside of church. If someone else's child is doing that, we receive it like, this child is being a child. But when a pastor's child is being a child, their childhood is not accepted. And this is why we need to discuss our thinking to say the pastor's child will be a child at some point, and their outcome as an adult will be seen when they are adults. You understand? But when they are children, we need to expect children to be children, regardless of the occupation or calling on their parents. It's the same with doctor's children. I grew up as a doctor's child. And you know what? There was an expectation that doctor's children should behave in a certain way. Your parent is the doctor, not you. Now, with the pastor's child, there's an added religious expectation to it where you, the child, are not allowed to be a child. And what this does is it alienates children. You know, when you see a pastor's child, you want to question them about scripture. That child should be expected to read scripture, yes, but they should also be expected to watch cartoons. They should be also expected to play in the playground. And if you don't allow those children to be children, they're going to have psychological issues. And we've seen that with celebrities, big stars like Michael Jackson, whose childhood was taken away from them because they were expected to be grown-ups too early. And what you begin to find now is pastors' children in their old age are trying to make up for their childhood. And this is where I'm saying we need to learn, Fulo. We need to come together on the table to say, how do we allow pastors' children to be children? Because they are children. Are you hearing me? There's no scripture that says the pastor's child is accepted from childhood. And I'm waiting. I want all the theologians to come on air right now. Our WhatsApp number is 071-364-0376. I want you to send me the scripture that says a pastor's child is exempted from childhood, that they will be born with all teeth in their mouth and a beard. You understand that a pastor's child will not go through teenagehood because a parent is a pastor. Instead, in teenagehood, they will be balding because they're adults. If you can give me that scripture as the body of Christ, then we can sit and say, you know what? Let's expect of pastors' children to be adults from a young age. Are you hearing me? So we are going back and investigating how we as the congregation have stolen the childhood of pastors' children. Time and time again, Bethel Music and Josh Baldwin. Man, we are having a very amazing conversation. And I believe this one should be an eye-opening one, and one that should be had amongst Christians globally. You know, how do we accommodate pastors' children? How do we allow them to have their childhood? And so that we prevent the next thing that we're about to talk about, because Fulo again has raised something. She says, I think the concerning issue is when they are wayward. Ha! I love this. I love this. And Fulo, I want you to stay with me because you are asking the relevant questions. Now, why is it that pastors' children end up in rebellion? Now, it sounds weird. It's like, you know, aren't they supposed to be holy? Aren't their parents supposed to be preaching at home first? And all of that. Now, what goes wrong? I'm going to give you that answer. And this answer is not, it's not rare. This is what happens to any child whose childhood is messed with, whose childhood is stolen. Children rebel. Why? Because you put so much expectation on this child. From the time they walk into church, you're looking at their dress code. They sneeze, you're looking at how loud they sneeze. They laugh, you're looking at how they laugh, when they laugh, why they're laughing. They make a joke, you holify their jokes. At home, when you joke, it's a joke. If a pastor's child jokes, why are they joking like that? You know, aren't they supposed to be quoting scriptures? You take away the humanity and the childhood from the child. And at some point, as an act of self-definition, the child rebels. Do they want to rebel? Are they not raised well? Not necessarily. Sometimes it's your constant pressure on them. You know, a pastor's child is like a mini celebrity in a pond. You know, because a church is so small. And now, you know, even celebrities can get away from you. You know, celebrities, you know, having been raised a bit in the public eye, there are things I learned to not do, to not be seen publicly. But now imagine with a pastor's child, every week you've got access to them. Every sneeze you hear, you at school, they're looked at as a pastor's child. At home, they're looked at as a pastor's child. And sometimes even the pastor is pressurizing the child to maintain the image of the family because they understand that you as a congregation are looking at the child to judge the parent. So the pressure is at home, the pressure is at school, the pressure is at church. So at some point, those children decide, you know what? I am sick and tired. And they begin to intentionally do the opposite. So I'm having this conversation because I have walked with pastors' children. There's two children who are now in Australia. The one has even become a pastor. There's another child I know who's out in Ghana, doing well, a musician, a couple in South Africa, which we've walked with, which we've counseled, which we've, you know, raised. There's a pastor's child who for about 4 years I would take to school, I'll pick up from school, you know, who's also a working individual now. So I'm not talking from afar. I'm talking from within. And I'm saying that we as the church put too much pressure on those children. And if you are one of the people participating in that pressure, I need to call you first to awaken you to what that does to the children so that you and your congregation begin to lay off of those children. You begin to allow those children to play. If the pastor's child is playing, let the child play. Just let the child be a child. And don't put expectation on the child that's based on your biblical beliefs. What do I mean by that? I am still waiting. 071-364-0376. Not one of you have sent me a scripture that says a pastor's child is exempt from puberty, is exempt from childhood, is exempt from just being a teenager. Not one of you, because that scripture does not exist. So how do we better support them? I believe the first step is by making ourselves aware that we have indeed mistreated them. You're still hanging out with Daniel Van Villy. And wow, I can see the conversation is growing. Messages are coming in. And for right now, I want to bring in a pastor who runs a ministry that focuses on pastors, but she is also a pastor's child. To be clear, we are speaking to Evangelist Miranda. Hello, Evangelist Miranda. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. And how are you, Pastor Dennis?
I'm doing well. I really wanted to bring you into this topic. Having been raised as a pastor's child, who yourself, you run a ministry that focuses on the well-being of pastors. What is it like to have that pressure on you as a child?
Sure, Dr. Danny. It's actually quite a hectic time for any child because you are held to a standard that no other child is held at. This expectation for you to be perfect. There's this expectation for you not to make errors, not to make mistakes, as if you are no ordinary child. So there's this pressure from the community, external community. Then there's pressure from the church community, and by that I mean the congregants. Then your parents are not your parents first. And that's where pastors make mistakes. They have got a threshold for other children and them making error. They have got tolerance for the other children. They've got time for other children. They are congregants. However, their own children are almost expected to.
You basically saying there's no space for error. There's no space for mistakes as a child. That a child cannot make mistakes or errors. You've said external pressure from the church, from the external community, from the parents who have patience for other people's children, but not their own.
But not their own. And that in its own is a burden.
Wow. I can't imagine carrying that level of burden.
It's huge. It's huge. It's hectic. And it's no wonder that you find that a lot of people have gone astray because they don't have a safety net.
What do you mean by they don't have a safety net?
They don't have a place where when they make a mistake, they can land on, and with patience, somebody can guide them.
Wow.
As a parent, you know that raising a child requires a lot of patience.
Yes.
No. You know as a parent that present parenting is critical for any child to grow up and be a balanced and be a well-rounded child. Pastors are hardly ever available for them. For pastors' children.
Wow. Evangelist Miranda, we're going to be back just now. You know, I love what she's saying here. She is saying that there is no safety net for those children. A place where you can go and be safe. Now, when I was being naughty as a child, there was always that auntie you can go and sit down and say, auntie, this and this is happening. And without judgment, you would have like a place of safety. And she is saying that as a pastor's child, she did not have that. Now, we're going to have her back just now. We just want to see if we can get a better line because I believe this is vital. You know, this interview could change the perspective of a pastor and congregants, and this could lead to support for pastors' children who we love, and we've been asking ourselves, where are we getting it wrong? But we've just blamed the parents. We've thought the parents have done things wrong. Meanwhile, we've participated in the ruining of pastors' children's lives. That's hectic. Extra, extra. All right, so we are looking at your messages. Someone said, good day, my brother. The other thing is that even us as pastors, we put our children under pressure. We want them to behave in a certain way because we don't want to be embarrassed. But forgetting that your child first sees you as a parent, not as a pastor. So if that pressure comes from the church and the parent, it becomes unbearable. By the way, there is scripture, children are children. I love that. I love that. In Hebrew, someone else also said, and in Hebrews, I would love to say that people need to first look at their children before judging the pastor's children. Hebrews 7 verse 5, you hypocrite, first remove the beam out of your own eye and then you can see clearly. To remove the speck of your brother's eye. You know what? I agree with that, but I don't even want us to go there, you know, because I feel like this, children are children. And this is why I asked Evangelist Miranda to come on board, because she is a pastor's child and she works with children, pastor's children. And then I also have a second guest who's going to participate, who is a pastor's child who has a ministry for pastor's children. Because I want us to be holistic. Today we are here to learn. So because Evangelist Miranda is in an area where the network is bad, we decided that she'll give us nuggets. She's going to send us nuggets and thoughts that we can listen to together. And then Tiama will join us online, that we can all have this conversation.
Children don't have a safety net. It's purely based on, can we help with the studies? Muruti, can we stand in the gap? And that is the sad reality of our children.
Wow. I hope we are learning as we sit around the table as the body of Christ, you know, to understand the reality of what pastors' children go through. I would have never guessed, you know, just imagine this. You have church, your children are right there next to you, but the pastor's children have their parent on the stage. And just wanting to interact with your parent can lead to people saying, you are demon-possessed. Yo, I need a break from this. I'll be back. Are you listening? Are you, you know, if you tuned in and you're learning, 071-364-0376, if you're seeing things here that you've never considered, let me hear from you, because we having a family conversation, and I'm hoping I'm empowering you today to better support your pastors. All right, can you hear me? All right, there we go. So what I'm saying is, first of all, we are so grateful for this moment where we are able to learn how to better support our pastors. And joining in on online with us is Tiamo. Tiamo, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. And how are you, Muruti?
I'm doing well. Tiamo, tell me something. You run a movement for pastors' children. What led you to start this movement, and what is it called?
The movement is called the Preacher's Kids Movement. I think what led me to start this was a poll that someone took. It was taken by a pastor's kid, taking a poll regarding pastor's kids as well. And then she said in her poll that 80% of preacher's kids don't want anything to do with the ministry, and 90% of pastors say that the ministry has affected their family in a negative way. So it all started from there, and I was busy writing my life book. And then when I read this thing, I'm like, I'm going to change the book of my the name, the title of my book, because this is really what I was going to write about anyway. So that's where the movement began.
So what were you experiencing as a pastor's child? Was your relationship with your parents also being affected in the way this poll represents?
It wasn't that much negatively affected, but there were certain things like not having time. I think Pastor Miranda stated it, that not having much time with your parents as any other normal kid, if I could say so. So that impacted us negatively in a certain way that caused a little bit of trauma regarding our personalities. So it has really impacted. And sometimes we feel guilty to say that. And the church feels like we are attacking when we tell them, for it indeed has impacted us.
And I can see how you would feel guilty, because in your mind, your parent is doing something good by helping people. So to almost feel that you also need your parent makes you feel like, are you maybe going against the work of God?
Yes, that is exactly how we feel. Because lately I've been speaking about how it has impacted us, right? From one radio interview to the next. But sometimes I feel guilty because it's as if I'm bashing them. I'm bashing the calling of God.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Now, how does a normal person like me, like I was not a pastor's child, you know?
Yes, yes.
How do I relate? Because we've got listeners listening now and they're probably hearing this perspective for the first time. You know, how do you bring us to a place where we understand just your need as a child for your parent?
I think the first thing and the biggest thing that you guys can do is understand that pastors are our parents first. In as much as you need them most of the time, but we also need them. The expectation of being good even before we are saved is just too much. Have leniency to us like you would have leniency to your own children. Have that space for grace and mercy, just like you have space for that. Because most pastors' kids that are still serving in the church, they had their support of their parents. They really have present parents. I think I was speaking with Miss Letitia regarding it, that pastors' kids who have healthy parent-child relationship and the church doesn't take most of the time away get to actually come back and serve. They don't rebel completely. I won't say we don't rebel, but we don't rebel completely, and leave the church.
Can it also be sometimes racial? And I'm sorry to bring this aspect. Do you find that certain races balance that space and others don't?
Yes. So now that you say it, that is so true. That is so true. Because other races can take time out from the church, like go on holiday.
Yes.
Like I think I've heard from another church. I can't say names.
Yes.
But I think I've heard that the pastor has leave. I'm like, there's leave. They really have leave. The pastor went on holiday. So I think it's a racial thing. And I think that's why I started it, because I started it with the local church in rural areas.
Yes.
That is where my focus is.
Let me tell because you an experience I had, right? I was a youth pastor and I was working in a church in the CBD, right? Where the church was really led by a African pastor, you know.
Yes.
And I had never seen my pastor go on holiday, not once.
Exactly.
Then I moved to another church called Choose Life Church, and I'll never forget at that Christmas where Pastor John went on holiday with his family. I was almost offended. How can he miss Jesus's birthday? It was my first time experiencing a pastor going on holiday, you know, and that's when I began to realize that there's a racial difference where certain races have reached a place where they understand that we have to give the pastor and his family time. And to others, it's offensive. For me, it was offensive. I thought the pastors abandoned us for Christmas because he went to spend Christmas with his family. We were abandoned. Oh man. I'm saying this, you know, we're laughing about it, but this is painful. This is painful stuff that a lot of pastors, and in fact, before I go to the pastors, now remember, I just made that comment as someone in the congregation. Mm-hmm. So it means a lot of us in the congregation do not give pastors space to be family with their family.
True. That is so true.
So as a pastor's child, what do you want to say to the congregation listening right now?
I just want to say, let there be boundaries. Let there be limits. Let the pastor parent his children. We have so many parents. It's a good thing, but it's also when it over exceeds, it becomes toxic.
Sure. You know,
don't want to now fix our behavior, fix our personality, fix our character. When our parents should be doing that.
Wow.
So let the parents parent.
Wow.
Let the parents parent.
Are you saying we also overstep as a congregation?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that.
Oh, wow.
There should be boundaries. Boundaries create healthy relationships.
Wow.
Boundaries are important.
I've not considered this, that we as a congregation are trying to fix the pastor's children.
Yes.
We see them playing. We want to tell them how to tie their shoelaces.
Exactly. As if pastors' kids are brand ambassadors. We are brand ambassadors for the kingdom. So everybody's trying to correct the brand, if I can say so.
Oh, wow. Brand essay. Pastors' children. Now, Tiamo, your ministry, you're working with pastors' children. You're young yourself. You know, I know people hearing you saying you're writing your life book might think you're older, but you're a young person. And I'm just thinking that if a young person at your age reached that place where they saw the need as well, it must be a pressure that is ever constant from a very young age.
Yes.
Talk to us to that.
I think it starts from the day we are born. It really does start from the day we are born, that the pressure is on. From the way we dress to the way we speak, even our academics, like you said, school, I had to be perfect in school, get good grades. Our personal life outside of church, our work life, or our life must be perfect. A pastor's kid is not expected to one day be unemployed.
Wow.
People start questioning, do their parents pray enough? Who sinned? You know, so the pressure is there from the get-go. I think I was very playful when I was a child. I would get myself dirty. And people would say, why is this child so dirty? But I was just a child being a child. Meaning a pastor's child cannot be dirty.
Wow.
You know, so it really starts from being there. And then it just, teenage years are worse. From the way we dress.
So you're saying just the mud. Because as a child, I saw the mud. I saw play. You know, I saw sand, I saw play. We wanted to explore.
Yes.
So for you as a pastor's child, that's off limits.
It's off limits.
Goodness.
We can't do that.
Goodness. You know, someone actually just messaged now, Kwesi. She says, my biggest gripe was the fact that I was expected to serve, to be available. I really felt like I was forced to be a brand ambassador. It was my father's calling, not mine. So I quit the church so I could be an ordinary member elsewhere.
Yes.
So are you saying that as a pastor's child, sometimes the option is even to leave the church where your parents are pastoring?
Mm-hmm. That's sometimes the option. And it creates, we become healthier when we are outside. It's the painful truth.
Yeah.
We can probably discover who we are. Yes.
No, this is sad. You know, church, you're listening. You're on 103 FM with Danny Van Billy. And I'm tuned in. I'm speaking to Tiamo Moyo. And she's really just pouring her heart out. She goes out and reaches out to pastors' children because she's a pastor's child herself. And I'm sure we are learning that there's toxic behaviors that we have had as a congregation that maybe we didn't even know is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something about boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I need to confess here. I failed in this area of boundaries. I had people calling me at 9 p.m. at night,
you know,
having their crisis. And that time I'm married, we didn't necessarily have children yet. But it was boundaries where my wife did not like, you know, like, give us space. We are husband and wife. Like, when do we get space to be intimate? Because you are calling. You know, and these are emergencies. No, guys, we have to define emergencies. For me, if you are not dying, it's not an emergency. Call tomorrow.
True.
You know,
true.
To a point where I, as a pastor now, my phone numbers are no longer available. You reach me through the church number because this boundaries things is not there. And then you're made to feel bad if you set boundaries as a pastor. Hi, no. Tiamo, hang in there. We want to poke you some more. There's a wealth of knowledge here. We are learning as a church. We've been toxic. If you're learning, 0713640376, maybe you want to send an apology to Tiamo and all the other pastors' children who are listening, you know, or a word of encouragement. We are open for your messages. A quick song and we'll be back. This is a learning moment for us as the church.
Accuser up of the brethren, waiting for whom he may devour. And the first thing that he will find is the weakest link, and that is the children, and that is where he can parents the most, stealing the destiny of their children.
Wow, that's an intro from Evangelist Miranda, who's joining us via WhatsApp. And, you know, because she works with the parents, and I've got Tiamo here who works with the children, and both of them are pastors' children. Tiamo, what do you say to what we've just heard right now?
Ooh. It all boils down back to boundaries, you know. I think the overgiving comes with, now you're making me realize that it's race, now it's class, you know. There was another pastor who said something like this at another preacher's kid, it wasn't mine, that I went to. He's like, sometimes we think certain problems are PK problems, kanti they are class problems. For example, your parents would be barely surviving, barely surviving to make ends meet. Then they would take even the little that they have and give. And then they would say, God will provide.
Sure.
So, yeah. So now that is a class problem. It's not just a PK problem. It is, yes, it has to do with class. If you have enough and then you can give, it's not a problem. But if you take even the very last, and then you give that, now it becomes a situation. I remember, I know this other PK, she grew up eating tin fish, because their parents would take offering money and give it back to those who need it in the church. And at their house on a Sunday, when everybody is eating seven colors, they would be eating fish. So she has a catering ministry. She doesn't own tin fish in her house.
Wow.
She despises tin fish in her house, and she cooks very nice food. And then she loves cooking over.
She
says that she lives alone, but she cooks an entire full chicken.
Sure. No, you know what you're saying, right? These things in society are seen as noble, okay? You don't have, but you giving your last to people who don't have. But we don't consider the effects that has on the child who's saying, look, we have a little bit, and oops, now it's gone. Because my parents have to be good to other people at our cost.
Yes. I even once called us collateral damage.
Wow.
Yes.
Collateral damage. That was the perspective you had of yourself as a child.
I did. And sometimes when I hurt, I'm like, God, must I always be collateral damage for the sake of the kingdom all the time?
Wow.
I know that there's a cost, but it's like sometimes it just goes overboard. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, these are painful things, and they're also perspectives that we don't have. And I'm going to keep putting it there as people who are in the church, but we're not raised under someone who was leading a church. We don't know how these givings can begin to affect the children of the leaders. And that's why there's a lady who said pastors should also live balanced lifestyles as is designed by Elohim, the creator of human beings. Being a leader in the church does not take away you being a parent if you have children. A balanced lifestyle includes being a spouse in your marriage. The church will not spouse your marriage, parent your children, or aunt, uncle, your nephews and nieces that came in from Lerato. Now, I think, Tiamo, the blurry line is this. These things are done from a good heart. You understand, a giver is, and sadly I'm one of those people, I'm a giver, my heart is to give, you understand. So now when you're doing something from a good place, you it's hard to see the damage that it is having on those closest to you, you know. So that's why these moments are very eye-opening for us. And I want to ask you, like, genuinely, how do we balance our views of doing good at the cost of our families?
I'm still trying to find a solution for that one. Hence, I speak with different preachers' kids, and as well as pastors as well. I think we should also come to a point where we engage the pastors, you know, because certain things is when God is speaking, but at certain times when you give, did God speak? I think the balance now, it's as if I'm giving the duty to the pastor again. I think the duty is on the pastors to know when it becomes overboard. Don't make your children lack for being a good person.
Don't make your children lack for being a good person.
Yes. Remember the story of, who's that in the Bible? The woman who was a widow of a prophet. And the children were about to be sold to slavery. The pastor left without leaving anything behind because he was so busy with ministry. I was so shocked. I'm like, this Bible story was in the Old Testament. This man of God left his wife and kids to be almost sold to slavery.
Sure.
Because the pastor was just busy being a good person. It's a good thing. But I think now we have the help of the Holy Spirit, right? Yes. Know when to stop. Like with alcohol, know when to stop. And gambling.
Sure.
Yes, know when your goodness is just costing the other side.
Sure.
You know,
it's costing your God family. Costing your children.
God says, I give you bread and I also give you seed. The problem is when you take, my friend taught me this, and she's not even a pastor's kid. I'm like, that is where the solution is. Mm. Don't now want to plant your bread, because bread is meant to eat, and don't eat your seed. You know, you should find that balance. It is there. We have the Holy Spirit to give us, and He gives us even balance of being a good person. Mm. Know when the limit is.
We are speaking to Tiamo Moyo. Stay tuned. 103 FM. I see your messages coming in. When I come back, it's going to be our final link. I believe we've been learning. 0713640376 if you've got any comments. We'll be back now as we're about to close off SLWV. You are hanging out with Danny Vambili. And wow. This has been just one of those shows that are completely life-changing, you know, life-changing in a way that we are making sure that we understand a different perspective, that we can see how others are affected by our behavior, whether good or bad, and especially those who are our pastors. You know, and we love our pastors, but yeah, I think we are learning that we need to not put our pastors in positions where their families are affected by our need for them. Tiamo, thank you so much for joining us, and we are about to do some closing words. Now, I want you, I think we've got about like 2 minutes. What would you say can be behavior patterns that we need to stop as congregation members?
The only behavior pattern was that one that I stated of no boundaries. And I do sincerely believe that it's pastors mostly who can initiate it, that they have boundaries when regarding their families. Because even if I can speak to the congregation and tell them, have boundaries, but at the end of the day, if the pastor allows certain things to happen, they are going to happen. Yes, people love testing boundaries, Nji. Even in life in general, people love seeing where you draw the line. So they just need to draw the line.
So pastors
themselves.
Pastors need to be the ones who initiate drawing the line.
Yes.
There's a message I got you from Anik that brought out an aspect that I think is vital. It says, believe me when I say that as a grandma to pastors' children, the children might be pampered by others in front of the parents, but when church is on, they are neglected.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you would say is true?
It is true. So when the service is on, we stop being children to our parents. Like Memiranda said, we can't go to the front. We can't, you know, approach our parents. Like another child in the service can go to their parents and ask for something, but we can't.
Wow.
So that's where the problem is.
I would have never thought that during church is actually the time when pastors' children are neglected the most.
It is. That is so true. Our pastors sit in front and then we are there at the back.
Wow. Okay, so in closing, what's your final nugget that you can leave us with?
I would say pastors draw the line.
Okay.
And I would say that spend quality time, not quantity. It doesn't need to be a lot of time, but spend quality time with your children and getting to understand them and who they are called to be. Because the reason why pastors' kids get out of the church is that they feel misunderstood.
Yeah.
Yes, pastors would go out and help others discover who they are, then neglect the first ministry, which is their family, you know. Like with me, I struggled to fit into ushering, worship team until I discovered I'm a poet. And now that they're supporting it, I can serve with it in the church. And I didn't leave. I didn't see the need to leave because it was discovered by my parents. So they should learn that family time is family time. Have boundaries, no calls later than 8 o'clock at night.
Tiabo, thank you so much. Pastors, take time to help your children discover themselves, and no late calls after 8 o'clock. And I'm also saying that to the church. Church, we need to commit. No calling pastors after 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. I'm actually at 5. I think after 5, 6 yeah. day, no. Like, guys, keep it within working hours. You know, mm-hmm. make emergencies between 6 and 8. And then after that, let's allow the families to grow. Thank you so much, Tiamo, for joining us. And if anyone wants to contact you, if you're a pastor's child and, you know, maybe you're going through it and at some point you want help, we will leave Tiamo's details here. And you can reach out to our Impact Radio number 0713640376 and we will have those details sent to you. Just that I didn't ask her which number she uses, so I don't want to just give out her number. And then for Miranda as well, Evangelist Miranda, I believe hers is 0797399824. If you are a pastor and you feel you've missed the mark and you need help, reach out to them. Tiamo, have a beautiful day. Thank you for joining us during your lunch break at work. May God continue to bless you. And yeah, may He continue to use you for our children.
Thank you so much, Muruti. Thank you.
That was Surviving Life with the Vambilis. Tune in again next week, same time, same place, at Tuesdays at 6 p.m.